Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Denham and Milan Jurkovic as soon as he changes his shirt.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. What's going on?
My question is in regards to my son. He's 13 years old. He has gotten involved in some pornography.
We basically had a relationship of fighting over everything.
There's no doubt in my mind that God used that time.
There's a red flag when somebody's only got two friends, okay? So number one, that would cause a question.
Why did you set yourself up for that so early? The baby's not even out of the womb yet.
You know, you take kids 14, and they are just right in the midst of when they need a dad the most.
I started out there, and I've recovered very strongly from that position.
But there was an AA, Anxious Anonymous.
I would have been the star poster child for it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to New Life Live. I was just looking up something in my Bible here. Milan spilled something on his shirt right before we went on the air. He made the change, and he's back.
It looked like water, you know, drip, but I said we could just say, point out your age and just say it's drool.
Now, is that nice? Do you think that's nice?
Oh, that crushed me.
We play like that. We play like
no,
that
we
around
don't.
Here.
No, that just crushed me that you would all of a sudden put me at an older age and stuff like that.
Well, it's drool. What else do you? What else would you like them to think it is?
I don't even want to go here.
You're a man.
I don't want to even go here.
All right.
All right. That was
Steve. Keep us from each other.
Yes, indeed. Hey, we're glad you're with us here today on New Life Live, and we've got a lot of things for you coming up. And by the way, Happy Independence Day! I love the 4th of July. I almost burned down our dock 2 years ago.
And you had your little fireworks show out on the dock?
Oh, my goodness. It was spectacular. Some of the things got out of hand, and they burned other things, and it exploded like a bomb. And everybody was running away, and I was sitting there with a smile on my face. I literally burned a hillside 1 4th of July. It was accidentally on purpose kind of deal. I did some bottle rockets, and boy, off the hillside went. Love 4th of July. I have a picture of me. My grandfather was going along putting in little American flags all along the yard there, and I was right behind him
lighting them on fire.
No, I was picking them
up. Oh, I thought we were going to stay with the theme.
I was picking them up. And the most beautiful firework display I've ever seen was Jimmy Ross, my cousin, had a handful of bottle rockets.
Yeah.
And he went to get a Coke, and he put the punk that was in that same hand by mistake.
And whole thing was...
He lit off about 40 bottle rockets from his head. Now, he had to go to the hospital. He was third-degree burn. But it was, I think it was worth it. It was beautiful. So I love when the rockets' red glare comes in due to fireworks and
fingers bursting in
and
air.
And let us just say this. We do celebrate our independence.
Maybe we should open our show with why boys are pyromaniacs and why they do stuff like that.
I really was kind of a pyro guy. I burned up a couch in the home. I was playing with matches, and my mom came
in. I started
in
a fire in my garage. Said,
okay, see?
See?
Yeah.
Us.
I'm really glad I'm a girl.
You've never
been
fascinated by fire.
Not to start it on myself or anyone else.
Well,
you know,
I didn't burn anybody down.
Just a
you know.
Dock and your
cousin's
hand.
So the motto is be careful out there. See, because this show is before it gets dark, and so we're saying, hey, everybody, be really careful. This is really a community service announcement.
Thanks to Daylight Savings Time, we get to wait till 11:30 before you can do your fireworks when it gets dark.
Everybody's asleep. Yeah.
Steve's going to go home, and there's going to be a whole host of fire trucks waiting around your house.
And according to Sherry, I'll be asleep by then because I'm so old and drooling.
Oh, I'm telling you.
I thought that was really sad. And that she said that. Oh,
yeah.
Totally
sad.
Help, callers, call in, rescue me from these two.
You're tough enough. You can handle it.
I am. We are grateful, though, for all those that are serving. I love the 4th of July. Thank you to the men and women that are on the front lines every day for us.
We get to make so many decisions about what we're going to do with our lives that other people simply don't get to do.
Yeah, that's true.
And we honor those that are fighting for their independence in other places. We'll take a break and come right back for more New Life Live right after this. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Let's go to Marie here, calling us from Anaheim, California. She listens on KKLA. Hello, Marie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right.
What is that? Well, that doesn't sound too good.
Well, I've been better, been worse, though,
Well, tell us what the problem is.
Well, I was wondering about what happens to animals after they pass. My dog is very, very ill, like in her final days, and I'm just curious. Do animals go to heaven like people do, or what happens?
Well, we don't know.
Okay.
I'm sorry to hear about your... It's a dog.
Uh-huh.
What's his name?
Her name's Abby.
Oh, it's Abby.
Mm-hmm. Now,
So what has...
There are some different...
So,
go ahead.
What has Abby meant to you, Marie?
Oh, Abby is my heart. I got her when I moved into my first apartment all alone, and after living with a family in a family of seven... Or, you know, my entire life growing up, it was a scary thing to suddenly be all alone.
So. Sure. So she's been a companion of yours?
Oh, yes. She's helped me through the roughest spots in my
sure.
life.
Sure. And have you had any people that have been able to help as well, or has it just been Abby?
I mean, I have a few good friends, but...
That can help you through the, that can help
yeah.
you through the rough parts?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I saw a bumper sticker, Marie. I loved it. It said, I hope I can become the person my dog thinks I am. You know, they, yeah. And dogs are wonderful things. I mean, unlike a wife, the later you come home, the happier they are to see you. You know, they're just a delight. They never disappoint you.
That's right.
And you're losing a major loss here. And I just want you to know, as Sherry was saying, it's very hard for you to face that, and I don't blame you.
Well, the hardest part is that she's actually not with me right now.
Sure.
She's with my mother in New York.
How did that happen?
I was out here last spring on vacation, and I felt the best I have felt in years because I have health issues, and the sun was really great for me. So
sure.
I decided I was coming back. But I had no plans. I did it on a wing and a prayer, basically.
So when's the last time you saw Abby?
October.
So it's been...
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you thought about maybe going and holding her and hugging her and just letting her know how much you love her?
I just don't have the money to fly out there right now.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I'd have to ask you, because sometimes, I sit with people in this, and sometimes it's like, are you going to be okay not having seen her before she goes?
That was why I went in October, because we found out at the end of September that she was sick, and the vet wanted to put her down right then.
Oh, I see.
I said, no. I said, I know my dog, and she's got some more fight left in her.
Yeah.
So I went home in October, and she's been kind of up and down since then, but... My mom really thinks she's right at the end right now.
Yeah. Well, we are sorry for your heart. It is hard. I think the grief and loss of an animal, I don't see the difference that I feel with clients and people that come in and friends. It's just as painful.
Oh, I have grandpups. I have grandkids and I have grandpups. And those dogs absolutely have wormed their way into my heart at a very, very deep level.
Yeah.
And it'll be a tremendous loss if and when we lose one of those pups. And I just have to say, Marie, your loss is real. We get it. We just encourage you to take your pain into relationship with real people and just process it like you would any other loss. A loss is a loss, and this is big. So you might want to get in a grief recovery group even now. There's lots of grief recovery groups all over the Southland. And if you got into one, you're going to find people with all different kinds of losses in these groups. And I think it's very important for you to get in a place of community where people can share about the pain of their loss. Okay, Marie?
Okay.
We care about you. Thanks for calling.
Steve?
Thank you.
Well, I just have a sense here that there may be some scripture that could help her out. And so I've been looking diligently here for that scripture. I may have found it. And it's Psalm 104, verse 17, if this is the right verse. Well, maybe not.
What were you going to say, Steve? What was your point?
There is a verse in the Bible that says that God loves animals and people alike.
Well, my friend told me that there was a verse that talks about, that makes reference to animals in heaven, but couldn't give me the verse where I could go to it myself.
Well, here's some good news. Here's some good news. Larry Sonnenberg helped me remember this. Jesus returns riding on a horse. Where does he return from?
Heaven.
So, must be horses in heaven. Huh? Okay.
Okay. But you know the other thing?
Yeah.
The Bible talks about a kingdom where the lion will lie down with the lamb. So certainly we can understand that there will be a time in the future where there will be animals in a new heavens and a new earth, or at least in the kingdom concept, where it is referenced that there will be a no longer the survival of the fittest, and you know the food chain will not be a part of the equation, and so there is a reference to animals in our future.
Yeah.
So, but the key, Marie, is for you to go ahead and spend time with people grieving your loss, and we are sorry.
All right. I'm glad that you called. Hello. I'm glad that you called, and I wish I could find that verse. If you continue to listen, maybe before the show is over, we'll have found that verse. It seems to be quite reassuring to a lot of people who have animals. I want to go over here to Donette from Fishers, Indiana, lives in the same town I do. Hello, Donette. How are you?
I am great, thank you. And you guys?
We're doing all right. Yeah, we're in a quandary over animals and heaven and all of that. But other than that, we're great.
Well, I agree with you. They are in heaven.
Okay. Well, you doing all right? You went to Israel with us.
Yes, I did, and that's why I was calling to let you know that it was awesome, and to thank you guys for putting it all together.
You guys did
a great job.
Thanks, Donette.
It's great having you.
It's like people ask me how it was, and it's like words can't describe it. It was that great.
Yeah. Well, you know, Larry Sonnenberg put that whole thing together. In fact, if he ever has, decides to not work at New Life, he could do a travel agency really well, I think.
He
knows how to put it together, the whole thing. So, and, he didn't get everybody hats. That's the only thing I was disappointed in. Always like a hat, but we got cool little backpacks. Those were neat.
Yeah, we got those bands. I like the armbands.
Yeah, armbands
are
good. Anyway, Donette, you enjoyed the trip, and didn't you enjoy the people that were there?
I did, yes.
Pretty amazing. Yeah. Well, thanks for going. Thanks for calling and making a comment about it. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome, and I recommend anybody who has the opportunity to go, because it is life-changing.
Thank you.
Thanks, Donette. Good hearing from you.
We're going to do another one next year.
And you know what's fun about doing a trip like that is we have 10 days together. Yeah. I mean, it's not just a trip like where you go and see something or one event. It's 10 days of traveling together, sleeping on a plane, getting up in the morning, having breakfast, lunch, and dinner together, seeing all these different places. There is a bond that just happens because you're traveling for that long.
And that was different than the Alaska cruise where people could kind of come and go to the rim and go take a nap and whatever. This, you're right. We were 24/7.
We're like hanging out. You
what
know.
I loved is that no matter what we did, we were going to be together in the evening. We'd have a little service and some music and a talk and have a little bit of fun also. And it was just great to be there and
it bonded us. We were bonded over the week. It was awesome.
Well, let's bond with Holly now.
And you extroverts ran on every, you know, ounce of that drop of gas on that one. You know, I was dying, you know. I was wearing out energy awfully fast.
Let's talk to Holly from Dallas, Texas.
Holly.
She listens on KWRD. Hi, Holly.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, except it makes me sad to hear about the Israel trip because I didn't get to go.
No, I'm sorry that you did not. It was really a well. We're going to do another thing like it, so come join us for that.
I will definitely try.
Yeah. Well, how could we help today?
Well, I was calling about my teenage son. He's 15.
15.
And he's, you know, compared to other boys in the class, he's a little bit behind in physical growth. And you know, I think he probably gets his feelings hurt a little bit when people misjudge his age because, you know, they look at his height and they assume that he's in fifth grade when he's really in ninth grade or something like that.
Yeah.
I have a daughter who's 12, and they are roughly the same height. And so, you know, you can imagine, you know, the strife that occurs around the house.
So
just, you know, I don't know if I have more anxiety about it than he does. But I'm just looking for either resources where I could read about, you know, natural development or, you know, advice, ways that I could encourage him or ways that I can make myself feel better even. I will say that he has been, you know, to the doctor, and the doctor says everything is fine, so there's no medical conditions or anything to worry about. He's just late in the whole physical development game. So,
what do you think? Go ahead.
I was going to say, my sense is the bigger you make it to him, the bigger it'll get. I know it's a big deal, but I've got my niece as friends with some kids in her class, and there's this one guy who he sounds like your son, and he has kind of grown in his confidence because the kids. I don't know what's happened, but he's kind of gotten more popular. Like, they kind of all want to hang with him. And they're all now in, she's in eighth grade now, and he still looks, you know, he's still the same height. But they've accepted that, but the kid has accepted it. And I think sometimes when we put the microscope too close to some of these issues, it just becomes bigger. And you feel kind of more weird about something that is just the way that he's going to have to work through that. Because you can't really change. It's something about yourself you can't change.
Yeah.
And that can do a number on his heart, on the inside, if he starts feeling really weird. And if parents are thinking it's weird, too, you know?
Holly, is he your firstborn?
He is the firstborn.
Okay. Well, just naturally, Holly, there's always more anxiety with firstborns. Because it's our first time as a parent through that phase and stage. So we do get freaked out. We do worry about things. And it's really important. That's why they call firstborns crash test dummies. Because this is the first time for us through it as a parent. The other thing is like, what's his genetics? Does he have tall or short parents? Are you guys tall or short?
My husband is 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
And I'm 5'4".
Okay, well, see, that 5'4 thing may be coming through, and you'd have no way of knowing at this point. Let me just tell you that I taught high school for 2 years when I first graduated from and got my teaching credential. And it was a 4-year high school, and I was amazed, absolutely amazed at the difference between the boys. The girls looked like adults almost, but the boys, they came in the ninth grade and looked like the smallest little, you know, scrawniest little guys. And the difference in 4 years of those
huge
kids between ninth and being
difference.
A senior, they do develop later. And I think you simply, one of your goals as a parent is to help your son or daughter accept who they are. As God made them, who they are, they can't change that, as Sherry said. So I would do everything you can to minimize your anxiety and realize there's been a lot of great men in this world who haven't been tall in stature, but they are big in stature because of who they are as people. And so I think Sherry's very right. You have to work on you and not make it a big deal. Take your eyes off it for 4 years and see what you get. I mean, there's guys that are still growing at 20.
Right.
They're still growing at 20. So guys do develop later. So I would really settle in on that idea. Okay. Just put a pause button on this.
When we come back, I want to talk about beating around the bush.
Okay.
On this particular issue. Well, we'll just do that when we get back. 1-800-229-3000. Thanks for joining us today. We love you. It's New Life Live. We'll be back right after this one-minute message.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Holly about a boy who is small in stature. And I have a friend whose son is in college, and he is small in stature still. And he says, I asked him, I said, is this an issue for him? He says, it's an issue he has to deal with every day. So if indeed he doesn't grow, then it probably is going to be an issue for him. So beating around the bush is helping him grow in character, whether he's tall or short, helping him see the need to do what he can with what he's got, developing his skills, taking the gifts God has given him, making the best of it in spite of anything. Those kinds of character building lessons will help him if it is a problem. If it's not a problem, it'll help him anyway. So you can't lose by helping this boy build character. And you know, my definition of character is doing what needs to be done at the time it needs to be done, no matter what the consequences. And you teach a boy to do that, you've got a son, whether he is short or tall, okay?
Yeah, that's great. And I just appreciate all the words of wisdom. And, you know, and thinking about it as you all were talking, he really does have
great character already. And
good.
Quite honestly, this is probably more my issue than his. But I think that, you know, what Sherry said was so important, you know, not to put a magnifying glass on it and really just, you know, accepting him for who he is to become.
Yes, that's right.
That's just hard for a mom sometimes.
Yep. All right. Thank you for your call.
Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you there. Let's talk with Ken from Anaheim. Hello, Ken. Welcome to He Listens on KKLA.
Yes.
Hey there.
Hi. I have a question. How would you, I mean, obviously, you know, when you are conscious, you still, you know what is hell or what is heaven. Now, when you die, how would you know where you're going to go, either hell or heaven?
Well, from what I read in Scripture, hell's going to be a very unpleasant place, and heaven is going to be an extremely pleasant place.
Okay.
So it would be very evident where you had landed.
Okay.
But most people know where they're going, I mean, before they go there. And other people are confused and deluded. So do you think you'll go to heaven?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out because, I mean, for example, I mean, according to the Bible, you know, if you do good deeds or if you do everything good all your life, the more chance of you going to heaven.
That's not true. That is not true.
Oh, that's not true. Okay.
No.
So that's
in fact, the Bible says just the opposite. It says no matter how hard you try, you can never achieve a level of holiness that makes you fit to be in the presence of a holy God. But Jesus Christ died on the cross. When you accept Christ and his sacrifice as your salvation, the way to clean up your soul completely, to allow you to be in the presence of God, Jesus took that sin upon himself, and now you can be in the presence of a holy God because of that. And when you believe that, well, Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the King James Version. And also where Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We all have criteria for who gets to be in our home. And God has a criteria that we need to live up to for his home, and his criteria just happens to be his son, Jesus Christ.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
It's about correct. I mean,
well, you were saying that you needed to be good.
Right. But this whole time, I mean, because I have very different, you know, conversation with a lot of people, and when I come across it, you know, friends, family, siblings, mom, dad, they all have different idea of, you know, how it is that you are gonna die. Either you,
yeah.
I mean,
well, let me ask you this: what do you base your life upon?
Pretty much faith.
So your faith is the foundation for what you believe? Just whatever you have faith in, that's what you believe? That's the ultimate source of authority?
Well, right now, for me, faith is pretty much Catholic. So,
whatever the Catholic Church would say, that's what would be your... If they say it, you would agree with it? That's your authority?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, then why would you be bothered by what other people say?
I'm just trying to have an idea of, you know, it just comes up, you know, in and out of my conversation all the time. So
yeah,
that's why I just want to have a specific belief where I can put that to rest, where, you know, that's what I'm going to think from now on.
Okay. Well, we'll help you with that when we get back.
Yeah. I was going to say there's authorities in different churches, and then there's authority of God's word, right?
That's right. Okay, We'll be back right after this for more of New Life Live. Glad you're with us today with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Sherry Denham. We'll be back. Don't go away.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We're talking. Ken, are you still there? Ken, are you still there? No.
Hey, Ken.
Not still there?
Call us back, Ken.
Oh, please call us back. We did want to talk with you further.
But see, I would think the Catholic Church still understands that Christ died on the cross, mm-hmm. and he died for sin. And the thing that Ken needs to really understand is that Jesus took my place. He took Ken's place. He took our place. We all deserve to die. Jesus was our substitute, as you said, took our place on the cross or in the place of death. And thus, instead of having to go to hell, we have the gift of eternal life, and that is given to us. Because he's our Savior, he saves us. He gives us the gift of eternal life. He removes the stain of sin, the penalty of sin, the judgment of sin, because all sin is imputed upon him. So we have the gift of eternal life when we accept the fact that Jesus died for me.
Yeah.
That would have been me, but I accept the atoning work of Christ on the cross.
Right.
And that's a decision we all have to make personal, because it's a personal decision. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Absolutely.
So we have to not just rest on a church we're in. We have to make a personal decision to receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. It is a personal choice.
Okay.
Now, very well said.
Thank you for closing that up with Greg. Maybe he'll hear
with
it.
Ken.
Maybe he'll call, with Kent. Maybe he'll respond to that. But, ladies and gentlemen, I have found this verse thanks to Diane Nelson, theologian and friend. Diane Nelson found this verse, Psalm 36:6, where it says, "Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the ocean depths. You care for people and animals alike, O Lord." Now that says a lot right there about the way God feels about animals. And that's been very reassuring to a lot of people over the years when I've been able to share that verse. And I hope that I can never forget it again. 36:6 is the... That's the verse. All right.
Wonderful.
We're going to go to Greg.
We are going to Greg. We're going to Greg right now from Philadelphia. He listens online. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Steve. How are you?
Good. What's going on with you, Greg?
All kinds of stuff. I wanted to say first, thank you to Steve, to you, to Mylon, and to Sherry for your ministry. It really is a blessing, and I enjoy the show very much.
Thank you.
I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm currently in recovery for drugs, alcohol, infidelity, and several other issues. I attend Celebrate Recovery. I also am involved with the local EMB men's meeting. I've been to a New Life weekend. I am married for 26 years. My wife is in recovery for sexual betrayal and codependency.
Wow, a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah, man, all kinds of stuff. Currently losing my house.
Okay.
Being forced to move and struggling to stay sober, dealing with a lot of guilt and shame and feeling very, very overwhelmed. Some depression and anxiety there. Basically, I guess I would say I feel stuck. You know, I have all the tools, but I really struggle to utilize them. It's like what the Apostle Paul said. You know, I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate, and that's right out of my recovery Bible.
Okay, let me ask you this, Greg.
Yeah.
How are you doing on the honesty scale?
I'm not doing well on that.
Okay. Because I think once you get honest, all of these connections that you have and the things you've been through, they actually start to benefit you rather than kind of hurt you, because you go or you participate and you feel hopeless because they don't do any good, and that's because you're not being honest. But when you humble yourself to be honest in every situation, I think the freedom is going to start to come.
Yep. I guess there's an overwhelming sense of fear, and I guess it's a... I'm going to be absolutely honest, it's a fear of abandonment.
Okay, and so there is a group tonight that you can go to where you can sit with some other people and say, if I'm really honest with you, I am so afraid of being left alone and abandoned that it makes me crazy. I want to drink. I want to have sex. I want to do all this stuff because it is so powerful. The pain of fear is so powerful, and those people are going to help you.
Yep. I get a lot out of Celebrate Recovery. I just feel, again, it's just I get stuck. I just
You get stuck. When you get stuck in recovery, you crank up the honesty. Now, that also means, to be honest, you have to be humble and willing, and so it fixes so much stuff in the recovery process.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Yep.
So, who abandoned you?
Well, that's a good question. It's a fear of abandonment that my wife is going to leave me.
And yet she's been with you for 22 years.
I know. It's crazy. I know exactly what you're saying, Sherry. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I can't shake that fear, and it causes me to be dishonest.
Yeah, because, I mean, she's proved to you and has done her own recovery. In fact, before we even, you know, started talking, I thought, wow, what an amazing couple. What an amazing woman. You guys have been through so much, and
right,
here you are fearing she's leaving, and it's causing you to be dishonest. It sounds like, is it a false fear, or did you have parents that left you? Where is this abandonment route?
I haven't had, my parents haven't left me. I did have some abuse by a sibling, but it wasn't an abandonment issue.
So is it more of a, the fear is, maybe the belief is I'm not good enough?
I probably have a pride issue, so I don't think it's that, no.
And how do you fix a pride issue?
By humbling yourself.
and being honest.
Being honest.
Yeah, Steve was right on that, man. I mean, because...
I can be honest in a group, and I have no problem with that, but it's like I run into this roadblock with my wife.
Okay.
And yet, you're so right, Sherry, in what you say. She stood by me and proven her devotion and love to me. It's crazy.
The roadblock isn't with your wife. The roadblock is in your mind regarding your wife.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, now, let me back up and be a little bit more, let me bring up a new topic. This fear that you felt, when we have fear and anxiety and we have agitation in our very core, that's what makes us turn to drugs and alcohol and sex and things to medicate bad feelings inside.
Uh-huh. Understood.
All right. And without the drugs and the alcohol, you don't have anything to medicate what you've been medicating for years through these acting out activities. So you're having to get used to, you're not stuck, you're having to get used to, let me reframe this, what's reality without mood-altering activities that remove my anxiety. So you're having to deal with the realities of life instead of, you know, going into alcohol and drugs to make that all go away. And oddly enough, and I know this may sound odd to you, but it may be a great idea for you to go on an antidepressant for a while to help you compensate, since you've been so used to medicating yourself, and it give you a chance to catch up, because you have an acute phobia, you have acute panic, you have acute anxiety. And having had that myself, I know that 18 months on an antidepressant changed my life. And a lot of people that go off drugs and alcohol say, well, I don't ever want to touch a drug or alcohol again. But this is a different story. This is not to medicate your feelings. It's to lift serotonin levels in your brain and to change some of the ways God made your brain to begin with. And you may want to consider that, because when we are anxious, we become catastrophic. And catastrophe is at the end of that worry loop. And your wife leaving you is your biggest catastrophe. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say that's correct.
All right. So then your issue is, I want to address my anxiety. What do I do with that? Go see a doctor. Tell them how anxious you are. It's driving you nuts. You're obsessing on stuff. And you may want to work there.
And you know what's kind of fun, too, is they even have these new great psychotropic drugs that are dually processed. They work on anxiety and depression. And so seeing a psychiatrist, someone who's would be great, because they can kind of help figure out what's the best for you.
Now, you started that by saying, and this is kind of fun. I don't think you meant that, did you?
I did. A good drug, a fun drug, meaning a psychotropic drug.
All right. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Sherry Denham and Mylon Yurkovich.
Hey, I want to clarify something here.
Okay. What?
Okay, well, fun. All right, so fun.
A fun drug?
Yeah, psychotropics necessarily aren't fun. Let me tell you what I was trying to say.
Okay.
As a marriage and family therapist, psychotropic drugs are out of scope for me. But I remember what happened the first time that I realized I talked to a psychiatrist, and they were actually telling me that there are some psychotropic meds, like Prestique is one that's a newer one that's out there, that it actually deals with both anxiety and depression. And I was like, wow, that's really great that you may be able to get one specific psychotropic for both things. I thought that was kind of, fun's probably not the right word, but it's like, wow, instead of having to take two different things, or there are these dually processed ones, but you really need a psychiatrist to.
Now I call that cool. Because instead of having
fun, cool,
well, no, it's
awesome.
it's cool that I have an alternative to being bad to the bone. I have an alternative to drugs, alcohol, infidelity, which has been my medication of choice.
Yeah.
Right.
I have another medication of choice that is really a healthier choice. That is an amazing opportunity.
Yep.
Thanks for clarifying.
Before we go
to our final caller, I want to. Many of you go to Women of Faith, and if you give the code LIFE, LIFE, you'll get a $10 discount. And for each ticket that's coded LIFE, they give New Life $10. They'll donate $10 to New Life. So if you buy tickets from Women of Faith, be sure and give them the code LIFE, LIFE.
Nice.
Ray from Hagerstown, Maryland, how are you?
Hey, guys, thank you so much for taking my call. You guys have been a blessing to me for a long time.
Thank you.
I got a situation that's probably pretty common. I'm remarried, divorced, but I got two kids in my previous marriage, 3.5 and 5.5. And I've heard you all talk about how important fathers are, so I want to make sure I'm making the most of my limited time with them to be a good father. So in 20 years, they're not calling you up with issues that I caused.
Okay, so what's the question?
What can I do when I only see my kids once a week to be a good father?
And how old are they?
3.5 and 5.5.
Three and a half. You play with them.
Play with them? Okay. How do you play that?
You play with them. That's what the top number one dog child psychologists say is that children need dads that play with them, get on their level.
On their knees.
Eyeball to eyeball, playing with them. It matters to them. You know, that's their work. And you enter into their world when you play with them.
Okay.
And you may have some opportunities along the way when you're playing to, I don't know, help them see character in you or whatever. But at that age, a playful father really bonds together with that child, and you become a pretty amazing human being to those kids when you play with them. Maybe Mylon and Sherry have some other stuff besides play.
Well, I think you need to play with them, and then you need to also do the opposite of that, which is to talk to them about the pain they feel of having to share you or miss you or not see you, or to have a divided family.
Yeah.
And to be able to ask them every time you're with them, how are you? How are you feeling? Are you missing dad? How are you doing in this new situation you're in? And to invite them to bring their pain into relationship with you.
Yeah.
Because if you can be that fun person, but also a serious person, that instead of having to go to sleep with their pain and hold it inside or cry into their pillow, they can come to you and tell you how they feel. Those two concepts will help you a lot.
Okay.
And then the last thing I would just add, too, is just tell them that you love them. Say, I love you. And then their name.
I do that all the time.
Good. I think that's awesome. You know, it's a lot of times people don't say that. They don't say that to their spouses. But, they don't say that to their
kids. And along with
that,
could say, and I miss you. I miss seeing you. I miss being with you.
Why are you only seeing them once a week?
Well, I'm remarried. They live with their mother.
Yeah.
I get they're in school, preschool, and I work some kind of odd hours.
Well.
So I get them every Friday night, all day Saturday. Sometimes I get them the whole weekend. I mean, I'm taking them to VBS next week where I'm a volunteer. Okay. So I'm doing everything I can to get time.
If you could shorten the amount of time they have to go without you by being able to take them to dinner one night in the middle of the week, that would be better.
Okay.
It'd be more. Yeah.
How does your new wife feel about that? Is there some opposition there with her, you know?
She loves the kids, and they get along great with her.
Okay.
That's actually the biggest blessing of everything, is how well they get along.
Awesome.
All right. Well, I'm really glad you're wanting to know about kids and how to be a great dad, and sounds like you are one. So thank you for calling us, and I'll send you a copy of John and Henry's book, Raising Great Kids, and a copy of Mylon and Kay's new book, How We Love Our Kids, and I think you'll enjoy both of those. We are just about out of time, and thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate it, and thank you, Dr. Sherry Denham.
You're welcome. You are
such a blessing to the show. People love you. They love it when you talk about the brain. And when you talk about other things, too,
Steve.
It is to take drugs, stuff like that. It's meaningful. Mylon, thank you for being with us. People love you, too, even when you're corny.
Mm-hmm.
They love you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Glad to be here.
But I'll tell you what, I am the most fortunate man in the world that I get to spend time with the brightest minds in the Christian world who just get it. And I know you know that, too. Well, to continue to do this, we need your support. So if you could, call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have a $100,000 matching gift. Every dollar you give is actually $2. Now, I'd especially like to ask those who are relieved about your animal, because I found that verse, Psalm 36:6, you care for people and animals alike. Let that be motivation to call and support us, and I pray that you will. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or go to newlife.com. Many things coming up. As I say, tomorrow, our weekend in Philadelphia, the New Life Weekend, it's not too late to get in. You could call right now and still get in. And then Sherry Denham is going to do Women in the Battle. If you are a female and you have been affected by someone who was involved in pornography, it could be your father, your brother, someone you're married to, used to be married to, maybe you're going to be married to. This would be a great, great weekend.
It's going to be terrific.
Yeah.
I'm excited. You know, just having gone on the trip with you guys and talked to some women that were there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really think this is going to be big. I do, because women love to learn, and we want to talk about it. We want to get connected, and we want to fight it.
It will meet a big need. Yep. And then Lose It for Life is coming up in November, and we'll want you to sign up for that. Last year, it was so great. We decided to do it again. And Michelle Spatafora is going to be there doing the exercise. It's nothing to be afraid of. She really knows how to help people of all weights and sizes. It will be a blessing to you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can also call us if you need a counselor in your area. We'll help you find one. We've got about 1,000 around the country, and they're helping a lot of people. Hope you have a great 4th of July. Don't burn yourself up. Don't injure yourself. Be safe. And set an example of safety. But isn't it great to live in a country where most of the time you can talk about your faith, and most of the time they'll let you be a Christian? I worry about it, you know, and I think we all should. But today we're free, and I'm grateful for that. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program,
call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.